Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
What's up, RE Pros? Before we get started, I have a great opportunity to share with you guys, specifically those of you who have thought about getting into commercial real estate but who have yet to pull the trigger. As many of you know, commercial real estate is, in my humble opinion, the absolute best way to achieve financial freedom. And my friend and partner, Neil Timmons, is launching a 5-day 20x profit real estate investing challenge that starts this September 19th. This challenge is geared to help beginner investors just like yourself achieve financial freedom through commercial real estate. It'll teach you the number one skill you need to learn to reach financial freedom, the skill of finding off-market properties at steep discounts by connecting with mom-and-pop owners. This is exactly the way that I got started in commercial real estate, so I know from experience this is how you want to do it, so do not miss this opportunity. Neil is a true real estate pro with over two decades of experience in real estate. If you guys want to take your journey to true wealth seriously, this is the perfect opportunity to get involved and stay accountable to your goals. And guess what? It's free. You don't have to pay a penny. So if you're interested, head on over to 20xprofitchallenge.com/REIC for Real Estate Investing Club. That is 20xprofitchallenge.com/REIC to get started. Again, that starts September 19th. So move fast and get going on your journey towards financial freedom today. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today we have David Richter with us. David is from Simple CFO Solutions. He has a lot of experience, so I'm super excited to jump into this. So that brings us to the show. David, thank you very much for hopping on.
Thanks, Gabe. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. I told you before we hopped on here, we like to start with stories. We like to hear how people got to where they are today, and I'm sure you have a good one. You got quite a history, so why don't you take us to the beginning? How'd you get started in real estate?
Rich dad, poor dad, like a lot of other investors. Of course. I was handed that book in college. And that changed the mindset on everything. And so I was like, yeah, okay, I want to invest in real estate. So I bought my first house. I was about 20 years old. And then from there, hooked up with a real estate investing company that was doing about 5 wholesale deals a month. And we grew that company over the next 5 years to about 30 deals a month. So we were doing like 300 deals at our highest point. I got to sit in a lot of different seats too. So acquisitions, dispositions, transaction coordination, project and property management, the finances. Like I got to experience a lot of different things in the real estate world. So that was an awesome experience. And I also was buying my own rentals and stuff, kind of building a little portfolio. So that's where I started and kind of how I got my teeth cut in the real estate investing industry. And it was a really good experience, but that was also kind of what springboarded me to what I'm doing today too, because we were doing 30 deals a month, but we were like spending 31 deals a month. You know, it was like, you know, then that was one of the last seats I sat in while I was at that company was the finance seat. And I finally figured out like how to read all that stuff that was coming in, going out. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Like, why are we doing this? So that was just another eye-opening, you know, epiphany for me as well, too, of like, hey, it doesn't matter how many deals you're doing if you're not keeping anything or if you're spending way more than what's coming in. So it's kind of how
can definitely be a problem in wholesaling specifically because of marketing. You just have so much marketing dollars going out the door.
Well, and by that time, we weren't just wholesaling anymore. We were the typical company where it was like, where the owner said, oh, they're doing, you know, turnkey, let's do turnkey too, and let's do fix and flip, and let's do release options. So we, like, I saw a bunch, it was a great experience for me because I saw a bunch of different types of deals, like subject to, like, we were doing everything and anything in between on the single family side. So we were kind of spread out. That also made us hire more resources. So we went from like 5 people on the team to like 25 to 30 on the team. So it was like, what is going on? So it expanded in a way too many directions rather than going deep on some of the things that would have just made us more profitable.
And that is, I feel like, especially in real estate, because there are so many different ways to do it. It is so easy to get sucked into the shiny object syndrome and just start doing a thousand things. And that's where, I mean, you guys saw it in firsthand. I've seen it in my own businesses. That's where you start to lose money, is when you start to lose focus, because then things aren't, they're not dialed in, and you just, you know, you're dispersing the money everywhere.
I've got a really good mentor, and he says that distractions usually make you money. That's what's dangerous about them, is that they'll make you money, but they're going to make you lose focus on what will make you the most and help you keep the most. So that was very true back then, for sure.
And it's not only that, you know, you're not making as much money. It's when you follow those distractions, you're spending, each distraction you follow takes more time. But when you focus, follow on, you know, when you go down one path, you actually get better at doing that, and it takes you less time to do that one thing. So that's, I mean, it's not awesome to hear, but it is. I love hearing, you know, direct stories from people who've gone through it. You know, I've gone through it myself. So you guys were doing 30 deals per month, which is a ton. Since then, where, how have you guys kind of gone from shiny object syndrome to where you are today?
Well, I was there for 5 years, and then it kind of blew apart. That company did, where I sat down with the owner, with the finances, and said, hey, you've got a portfolio of about 100 properties. Like, we got to sell off the non-performing ones, and we've got to sell off some of these. And to him, it was like, no, I don't want to sell. I want to try and just dig our way out of this hole. Let's just do more deals. And it's like, well, we got to do something here besides just the same thing that we're doing. So some of the leaders kind of split off from that company. That guy's still my friend today. I love that owner, but he's now working with just a smaller team and, you know, more profitable now. Like, he's doing what he's good at, which is the fix and flip and the wholesale. So it turned out well for him. For us, like, I sold my portfolio at that time, which was a smaller one, you know, like about 10 properties, and then sold that, moved across the country with all the equity that I had, and like started investing in the Richmond, Virginia area with a partner there. And that's kind of what happened from there. I moved to across the country, started working with him. And the first thing I asked him was like, I got to see your numbers. You know, like, I've been burned at this higher level. So it's like, I want to know what's really going on. And now that I can read the numbers and how they tell your story of what's really happening, like, let me get behind the scenes. So he let me in there. And I was like, well, it's a mess. I can't even read this. You know, like, nothing's in the right place, or like, things are missing. So I went in there with a team, you know, for about 3 months, cleaned everything up for the last few years, so that way we could actually see what was happening. Like, how much is he making? How much is he spending? Then it turned out that this guy had a smaller, portfolio of properties, and he was super under-leveraged. Like, he had properties at 30%. Like, his whole portfolio was at 30% loan to value. He had like 70% equity, and he's like, well, there's where all my money is, because he was constantly asking, where's my money? Where's my cash? And I'm like, well, it's all tied up in your properties. I said, would you want to refi and get to at least, you know what, 50, 60, 70, whatever you're comfortable with? He's like, yeah, I'm comfortable with 50, 60%. So we took out several hundred thousand dollars. And so, like, he was able to get that money back into his account to go and do more real estate, but just with his own cash. And that's when he looked at me and said, this has been life changing. Now I know what I'm making, what I'm spending, what I'm keeping. You know, I've been able to refi. That's what born, you know, like, what birthed Simple CFO and what the company I have today. Cause I'm like, I bet there's a bunch of people out there that, like, love doing the deals, love making money, but hate feeling broke and not in control of where the money is or what's happening, and not getting real financial freedom, what people even signed up for when they came into real estate investing. So I'm like, I bet you there's more people like Rich. That was the guy's name. So I said, I'm going to start this company. And that's why I started the business at the beginning, because I was like, there's got to be more people just like this, or the company I was at before, where we're doing 30 deals a month, but spending like we're doing 31.
Yep. And especially for, I mean, not everybody has financial literacy. And, you know, reading P&Ls is something that isn't taught in schools. It's not something that we're just, born with, unless our parents are in real estate or own a business. So that is definitely, I know it's something that I've struggled with. My girlfriend is in finance, and she's been the one who's been like, Gabe, you gotta look at your P&Ls every day to make sure. You know, in my head, when I've been building my business, I just, you know, I know more money is coming in than going out, so everything should be fine. But when it's not until you see the granularity of how everything's being spent that you can really start improving the operations.
And focusing on what really matters. What really matters in your business, if you're running a for-profit business, is the profit. So like with all the clients we work on, we're looking at that at least every month. Not just what have you made, but like what percent of profit is that? And are we trending up? Because like that's what matters to you as the owner, is what you're actually making at the end of the day and what you're putting into your pocket. So, and we've seen that. We've seen people go from like 20% to like 50%. We've seen people go from like negative to finally positive. You know, so like we've seen the different spectrums, but it's really what you focus on expands. You know, it's that thing. And a lot of people are running accidental nonprofits. They just don't even know it though, because they don't know that there's what they're making or spending. So you just have to focus on the right things in the business. I was just at an event this last week, and one of the guys got up who was more of an engineer mind. And he was saying, this is what we're making. This is what we're spending. This is like all the leads that are coming in. And everyone's like, whoa, like he's got it dialed in. But on the flip side, he was giving away like 50% of his profit to JV partners and to dispositions people. So it was like, he was so dialed in on here. He had some of the best numbers, but he needed some of that other, you know, like knowing how to structure the deals and stuff. But everyone saw like, holy crud, how dialed in he is. He knows to the T of where this is, but then he needed some of the visionary to put, you know, to be able to put the deals together better. And it's like most people are the exact opposite. They come in and they're doing really well. They're bringing in all the deals, but then they have no idea what's going on the back end. And then it's like, what do we do? Like, how do I get better? Can I hire this person? Do I have to, you know, like, do I just have to keep doing this myself? And they're always wondering, what's next? You know, like, can I do this? Can I not? Can I spend on this marketing system or not? It's just that constant, I call it the real estate rat race. And that's where it's like, what the heck is going on? Now, instead of living paycheck to paycheck, we're living deal to deal. I love what you said about financial literacy. Like, if you want financial literacy in the personal finance world, you have to read the books. So you got to have the Dave Ramseys or the, you know, like those types of things, or a girlfriend who's in finance, you know, or something like that, to be even on the personal side. So if you don't get it on the personal side and then you start a business, it's like the double whammy. Now you're bringing bad personal habits into your business, and then it's a different world, the business finances versus personal. So it's like, oh man, you're kind of, we're starting that much more behind. So that's why when I first started the business too, one of my mentors reached out to me then and said, have you read Profit First, the book by Mike McCow? It's a great cash flow system. I said, no. So I read it that evening, took 10 pages of notes, said, I absolutely love this because the book is so clear to entrepreneurs. It's not a bunch of accounting mumbo jumbo jargon out there. It's just, here's what to do with the cash that comes into your business. Then I went to Mike, the original author, a year after implementing it with real estate investors, and asked, can I write the one for real estate investing? Because I have like, you know, 7 or 8 years of real estate investing experience, have done a ton of deals, and know exactly what these people are going through. So then I was able to secure the rights to that book, and now we've got Profit First for real estate investing out there. And I'm so, it's awesome going to these events and people are like, you wrote about me. You know, like you know, like the real estate rat race, like they're like, you just put into words what I'm feeling all the time on the money side. So it's just, I promise if you pick it up, it's not boring. It's not going to put you to sleep. It's going to talk to you as the entrepreneur. But yeah, that's it's kind of full circle of where we are today.
Perfect, man. And we will ask about that book at the end here. Before we get into that, cool. Though, so you run Simple CFO Solutions. You help, you know, real estate guys out there with their finances. So yep. What is the biggest issue that you see on the, you know, in guys that or girls that run real estate businesses? What is the biggest issue that you see in their finances?
Oh, man, I'll have to say the biggest one. One of the biggest ones is definitely having just one big bank account where everything goes in and out. It's all going into the same place. It's all going out the same place. It's like tossing a cash salad. Like, what the heck is going on? Like, oh, I have money in there today. Let's just toss it over here to be able to, you know, throw it on marketing. But can I pay myself? Like, can I take a draw? Or can I, you know, like the IRS just told me I have a 6-figure tax bill. Where in the world is that money coming
from? Don't get me started on taxes.
Yeah. So that's where... I see that all the time when we first start working with people. They just have that one bank account and it gives them no clarity. These are the same people that also, because I get it, I was that person, was behind the scenes, is not going to look at QuickBooks, is not going to see like, okay, we have 100,000. What is that all apportioned to? And like, what, behind the scenes. So that's why that one bank account doesn't give them that clarity control, and they all come to me and say, what in the world? Like, I know I'm making money, but I don't have any clarity. So I would say, you know, split out some of those bank accounts and like be able to name the dollars for where they need to go. And that's what the book's about. And that's what, you know, just for the entrepreneur. But I see that over and over and over again when we work with people. Then the other biggest one, I'll give you another bonus one here, is that people just ignore it. They just say, ignore it. They don't want to think about it. You know, like I said, I was just with an investor again, a different one this week, and they were like, I don't even want to think about the numbers or talk. I just want to do deals. You know, that's all I want to do.
That was definitely me when I started.
Exactly. And that's everyone, you know, like that has that entrepreneurial mindset. That's like, you never want to dive into that. But at the same time, she said, I also am very stressed about the finances because I don't know what I'm actually making and spending. And it's like, that's the thing is, you don't even always have to tackle the numbers head on. You can work with someone or you can have someone there to be on your team to help you do that. But it's like, we can't totally ignore it. If you, the people that you respect the most as real estate investors, the high level, either real estate investors or the people you see on TV or like Shark Tank or The Profit, they're always asking about what's the numbers? What are the sales? What is the profitability? You know, like what's the turnaround time? Like they know those numbers down to a science. So that's the other one. Don't stick your head in the sand just because you don't like it. We got to get this out there and we got to make sure that you put that power back into your hands.
Yep. Yeah. And I like what you said about creating different accounts. That's actually a recent thing that I've started.
Good.
And specifically for taxes, because I would see all this money in my accounts and I'd be like, hey, I can spend this. I can go, you know, do marketing. I can do whatever. But then tax time comes around. I'm like, F, I got like $100,000 that I owe the, owe the IRS and I haven't been saving that money. So I really like that. That's a, I feel like that's a really good, good advice for somebody just starting out their financial literacy journey there. All right. Well, I did just take a peek at the clock. We are running short on time. So I got to push us into the quick question round. Are you ready?
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm ready.
Do it. It starts with education. I'm a big bookie, so give me two recommendations, one for general life wisdom, one for real estate specific. If you're not, I mean, you got to be into books because you're on one yourself. So you can give books, but if you want to do something else like a YouTube channel, whatever, Discovery Channel, anything you like, give me two recommendations.
So besides mine, of course, besides The Profit First for Real Estate Investing, I really like on the real estate investing side, like Gary Keller's book, you know, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, some very practical tips. And then on the business side, Keith Cunningham's book, The Road Less Stupid. It's really good. If you've never read that one, he gives you how to do thinking time as an owner. Like that's the highest and best use that you can do as an owner is sit and have some quiet time during the week and ask yourself some hard questions. And then he gives like 40 chapters of questions that you can ask yourself depending on where you are in your business and what problems you're facing. So if you want to ask yourself better questions, The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham.
I'm going to have to get that one because that's kind of that is the inflection point that I'm at in my own business is that I'm realizing I need more thinking time versus more action time. So The Road Less Stupid, I will check that out. All right, moving on. Next question. This is for your younger self. So if you could go back to the David who had no experience, let's say he was just getting started with that first wholesale company. Go back to him, look him in the eye, give him one piece of advice moving forward.
Well, I'm going to be very biased. I'd be like, use the profit first methodology. Like know where you're making money. Because I know if we would have known at the beginning when we were doing 5 deals a month, it would not have turned into the monster it became at 30 deals a month. So that would be one thing is just implement that, set up the separate bank accounts, run that system, know where your money's going, and it's going to help you keep a whole lot more of what of all those 6-7 figures that we were making.
Perfect. I love it. And I'm interested to hear your response on this one. Tools, they run our business. And so give me the number one tool that you use in your business or you recommend to your clients that you cannot live without.
Well, okay. So I'll do for business and then personal because in business, like for us, it's QuickBooks Online. Like Ramp, that's a really good one. It's a newer tool. It's like an expense management software that's really, really good. If you're doing any amount of deals, that's a good one. Ramp.com to look
at. Wait, into. is
Is Ramp similar to QuickBooks, or how is it different?
Well, it links with QuickBooks and it's expense management, meaning it's got a whole bunch of integrations. If a receipt comes through, it matches it automatically, you know, like no more forwarding receipts or, you know, and or like QuickBooks, you have to open the app to snap the receipt and sometimes it's buggy. This one, you just literally take a receipt and text it to Ramp and it like just uploads it right there. It's like it cut three steps out for me. So I'm like, this is great as an owner. And then the personal one, my do not disturb on my phone, like for the thinking time. And just, I was a very reactive person for a very long time and just feeling like, and I was very much a people pleaser. Like I want to do things for people. I care about people. And it's not that I don't anymore. It's more that I need to be in control of the time that I have. So I put do not disturb almost all the time on my phone now. And then, you know, proactively look and say, okay, now I'm going to check this. Now I'm going to check my messages here or my email or whatever it might be. So that's another one that's kind of been life-changing over the last quarter or so.
Yeah, you're actually the first person to say that. I think that's really good advice, though. Do not disturb. I should start doing that on my phone. It's amazing how many little dings pop into your consciousness, and it just takes you away from what you're doing.
If I have it off of Do Not Disturb, now I get angry at the dings.
So like, throw your phone across the room. Right?
I just have to put it back on because I'm like, no, I'm going to tell my phone. My phone's not going to tell me.
So, there you go. Put your phone in this place.
Right.
All right, moving along. This one is for the United States. It's a big place, a lot of opportunity out there to invest. So give me one metro that you are most excited about investing in today.
Oh, well, I moved to Florida a year ago, but one of the best markets that I liked investing in and still do is the Northwest Indiana area right outside of Chicago.
Interesting.
Kind of like one of those hidden markets that's a real gem because you have Indiana that's a very landlord-friendly state right next to a very not landlord-friendly state in Illinois. So a lot of people would come from Illinois and pay, you know, almost Illinois prices in Indiana, and then you could get a much bigger spread and the taxes were lower. So Northwest Indiana is a really good place to invest because it's right on the border between Chicago, which is 30 minutes away, 20 to 30 minutes from, you know, downtown to Northwest Indiana. So that's one of the markets I love to invest in.
Cool, man. I love that. We actually, we just closed, I know this isn't Northwest, but we just closed on a self-storage facility in Indianapolis.
In Indy.
That's central.
Indy's a good market too.
Yeah.
Indianapolis and like the whole Indiana state is one of those typical Midwest states where everyone else is going like this on the coasts, you know, like the up and down cycles. And that one's just more like,
it's just
you
right
know, a
in
gentle
the middle.
Wave, right? Yeah. So that's why I like that state.
Yep. I love it too. All right. That leads us to the very last question. And this one is for the listeners. You've given us good advice. So first give us, how can people get in contact with you? And then tell us a little bit about what you offer at Simple CFO Solutions and your book.
Sure. So simplecfo.com, that's the one-stop shop. If you go there, that you can book a call with us. We have our podcast there as well too, the Profit First REI. So if you're looking for more information on that or people that have implemented the system and how that's worked out for them, you can go to that podcast there. Then also the book is available. It's Profit First for Real Estate Investing. So if you've read Profit First or if you're interested in what I was talking about with the bank accounts and the whole cash flow methodology and like the true financial freedom of keeping more of the money, that's that book, Profit First for Real Estate Investing. And you can get it there as well or on Amazon. But simplecfo.com. And then the actual services is, it's a fractional CFO service. So part-time CFO. So you're not, you know, a lot of people can't afford the $250,000 CFO until they've got a massive business. But most people can afford a very part-time CFO coming on to lead the financial department to be able to manage that bookkeeper or manage the CPA relationship because the owner just wants to do deals. So that's where we come into play. We also have bookkeeping and CPA services, but our core services, making sure that the right people are on the team on the financial department and that they're managed, and then talking with the owner on actual the business finances and how can we do better and how can we put more money in your pocket. So that's what we do at Simple CFO. So simplecfo.com is where you can find us.
All right. I love it. And I'll put that URL in the show notes. So if y'all want to reach out to David and get in contact, go to the little more in the description. It'll pop down a full description in there. You can find his URL. So David, that wraps it up. Thanks very much for hopping on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Gabe. It was an honor.
Absolutely. And for everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. So if you have any questions whatsoever, reach out to me, Gabe at the realestateinvestingclub.com. Other than that, I hope you guys have a great week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page, click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form, fill that out, and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at Gabe at therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.